Down to business on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland. We understand business. Choose the bank that's here to help you rise to today's business challenges and tomorrow's.
So you don't have to be brilliant to produce brilliant work. That's according to my next guest, who in his new book, Make Brilliant Work, will show you how to make the transformation from ordinary to extraordinary. Author and lecturer at Central St Martin's in London, Rod Judkins. He's the author of this great book. Good morning and welcome to the show, Rod.
Hi, thanks for inviting me. It's really good to be here.
Yeah, nice to talk to you, Rod. So basically, I think what you're saying here is that you and this book basically give a great set of ideas to help up fire up one's work mojo. Would that be right? So if somebody is a bit exhausted, under-enthused, that this would give, I suppose, the kickstart needed to reinvigorate oneself.
Yeah, there's lots of kind of examples of people who have had a creative block, and I kind of show how they've overcome that creative block. But I think it's also a kind of perfect book for our time, where a lot of people now are assessing their career and their life, and kind of wondering, you know, they want to make changes and they're thinking about the future. So it's really for people who are embarking on a creative project. So it could be like they want to start up a new business, or they're an artist and they want to put on a new, you know, a one-person exhibition, or they're a designer creating a new product. And often, you know, when you're working on something creative, you find that what you're doing can be a bit ordinary and a bit predictable. And this book is aimed at helping people in that situation to make their work more stand out, you know, more unique and special. So it's full of examples
Let's look at a couple of that, because you talk about, you know, that even if we talk about the past 15 months, that many people rethink how they live their lives. But maybe redirecting your life is a different thing than, you know, thinking it is fine, but actually, I suppose, doing something about it is really where we need to go. So you talk about a couple of things like prototyping and testing options, you know, if you wanted to make a change. Could you maybe give us some examples of some people who might have done that?
Yeah, in the book I cite Mary Quant, and how she did like some ordinary jobs in offices, and she kind of knew that it wasn't right for her, and she knew she'd have to just work for herself, but she didn't know what she wanted to do. She just knew, you know, she couldn't do like a standard job, and so and she kind of knew where she wanted to be. She knew she wanted to be on the King's Road in London, because at that time that was where all the energy and excitement was. So she kind of knew who she was. You know, she knew she was not someone who could work in an office, and she knew what she wanted to, you know, where she wanted to be, but she didn't know what she wanted to do. And she happened to see that a shop was up for, you know, the lease on a shop was up for available. So she took on the lease for the shop, and she started a cafe because that's all she could think of. And then she kind of turned it into a restaurant, and it didn't really go well. And there was a kind of floor above the restaurant that which she was got sort of empty, and she started thinking, oh, well, I'll try and sell clothes there during the day. And buying clothes was quite expensive, so she started making hats, which were very expensive to buy, but she made them herself to, you know, to save money. And the hats sold really well, so then she started making jackets.
Yeah.
And she started hiring people to do the sewing for her. So she, you know, she built up this huge business and, you know, became a million pound business. But she didn't really know what she wanted to do. And I think that's kind of what a lot of the examples in the book are about, people who didn't sit around planning and, you know, for doing business plans for hours. They kind of got on with it and made it up as they went along. And I think that, you know, creativity is like that. You can't really, there's so many unpredictable things happen that you have to kind of be somebody who, you know, responds to what's going on around you. And
yeah.
So, it's full of examples of people like that.
And what about, you know, that sort of spare tire or that fallback scenario that, you know, if somebody's working in an office and they're, you know, designing clothes at night or whatever it might be, like, is the safe, pensionable job that you're kind of locked into, is that a barrier to sort of taking that leap and, you know, going for it? Or is it a good thing that you could transition slowly, you know, and test something out first before making the big plunge?
Well, yeah, there are examples of people in the book who had quite ordinary jobs, but they found ways to within that job to be creative, and they kept kind of pushing and finding ways to improve what they did. They might be a surgeon and working in a hospital, but they kept looking for ways that they could improve the equipment that they used or improve the procedure. And so they became, you know, very successful because they were, you know, they stayed in their quite, you know, their standard job, but they just found ways to be creative within it.
Yeah.
But there are also people who, you know, took the plunge and just, you know, found themselves trapped in a job and, you know, thought the only way to do it was a kind of clean break.
What about the artist Henri Matisse? Basically, he was an interesting innovator because, again, he was always finding a new way to be creative, a new way to bring him to the next phase. Tell us a little bit about him.
Well, he's kind of example of what we're talking about. He had a job as a lawyer, and he was sort of set up for life, really. He decided that he just wasn't cut out for it and wasn't enjoying himself. So he started to go to evening classes and learn how to paint in the evenings. And he kind of slowly built up and started exhibiting his work, you know, one piece at a time. And so, you know, he felt really trapped in his job as a lawyer. And by, you know, just going to evening classes and learning to paint in the evenings, he slowly built up his career and then kind of took the plunge and left his sort of safe job as a lawyer and became, you know, slowly built up his career as an artist. But he kind of tried things out, you know, he always kind of experimented and tried different styles and put them out just to see what kind of response he would get.
Okay. You also talk about prototypes and prototyping in the book. And again, this is, a transition from one place to another, that one might come up with a cheap scaled down version, you know, just to test the market. But again, it's sort of crawling before you walk, isn't it? A prototyping approach.
Yeah, that's kind of very much what Matisse did. He would you know, try out, you know, he had like an exhibition before he gave up his job as a lawyer. He was like sort of testing the waters, so to speak. You know, he had an exhibition just to see how it would go, and it went well. And then that gave him the courage to move on and become, you know, to keep having more exhibitions. But a lot of I think a lot of creative people, they will try something out as an experiment, put it out there. Thomas Edison is in the book as a great example of, he had some great ideas and he spent hundreds of thousands of dollars developing them and put them out there. And some were a complete failure and some were a success. And that, you know, the truth is you never really know how successful your idea is going to be until it's out there and people are reacting to it. So there's some quite, you know, interesting examples of some of his failures in the book at work, but that, you know, they were great ideas but they just didn't work. Yeah. So it's kind of, you know, if you're a creative person, you have to try things out and see what works, and you're always going to have a lot of things that fail and just don't work, and you just have to accept that that's part of, you know, on your path to sort of making
it work. If somebody you know, and you hear lots of people often say this, you know, I wish I was more creative, or, you know, the other guys in the office tend to be more creative than me. Can somebody become more creative? Is it like, can, even though you're not naturally creative, is it something that you can actually aspire to do?
Definitely. I think that, you know, the book is full of examples of people who, you know, even someone like Matisse, you know, he didn't sort of stand out as someone who was particularly creative. You know, he was a lawyer and he had like a 9-to-5 job, and his training was as a lawyer. But by spending a lot of time in the evenings, in evening classes, developing his work, you know, he became something special. And a lot of the people in the book, you know, they found a way to make brilliant work. They didn't, they're quite, you know, I set out to find examples of people who were quite ordinary. You know, they came from small towns in the middle of nowhere, or, you know, they weren't born with exceptional talent, but they found a way to make brilliant work. And they had like processes. And I talk about Robert Altman, who is a very famous film director, and I wouldn't say he was necessarily someone with natural talent, but he had an ability to build a team around him. You know, he was very generous to people who worked for him and made sure they got lots of credit. And so by doing that, he built this big team around him that went from one film to another. So I wouldn't say he was necessarily... So, you know, standout talent, but he
really, what you're saying then, Rod, is that there's hope for us all. Is that your message? Is that your parting message to us?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there. It's a great book. Make Brilliant Work, From Picasso to Steve Jobs, How to Unlock Your Creativity and Succeed. My guest was Rod Judkins. Thanks for joining us this morning, Rod.
Thank you very much.